Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Springfield, Massachusetts is Don Griffith. Don is the head of Financial Crimes and Fraud Prevention Compliance and Compliance Counsel for MassMutual. Today, we're going to be talking about a subject that's very close to everyone these days, which is managing compliance during a business interruption. Today, it's the COVID-19 pandemic, but it's conceivable for an organization in the future they may find one because of a natural disaster or some other reason. Don, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Happy to do it.
And happy to have you. Now, you're fortunate in that MassMutual already had worked on a disaster recovery plan. Let's start with the recovery plan. What should the role of compliance be in shaping the plan in the first place?
Yeah, I think there are a couple of different roles that compliance can play. First is getting your own house in order. We're fortunate enough to have a pretty good team that handles the plans for disaster recovery and business continuity, and we work closely with them in the first instance to make sure that our own compliance programs are going to be up and running as needed once a crisis has occurred. So, for example, what systems need to be up on day zero versus later down the line that aren't necessarily as critical? And we have a couple of people in the department who are assigned as coordinators to make sure that all the various compliance functions have thought through what they need from a day zero through day 30, for example, in terms of access to systems. Are there particular regulatory issues that we have to be aware of? And are there particular regulators that we need to notify and things like that? So the first thing is getting our own house in order to make sure that we've got a plan for the continuing function of compliance. And then more importantly is, how do we become aware of what the business plans are and what their needs are going to be during the crisis? So I think it's critical that we understand each business line's plan for recovery from some kind of crisis. And then to the extent you disagree with what they have in terms of priorities, I think it's our obligation to speak up about it and say, have you thought about, why you don't want to do X, Y, or Z first versus something else? I think also it's important to be involved and have representation on the various desktop scenarios that some of the continuity plan coordinators might have. So we have a program here where every month a group of people get together and we talk about different hypothetical situations, and it's sort of in a simulation, a desktop simulation, if you will, of what might happen, whether it's a cybersecurity incident, a natural disaster, or ironically, something like a pandemic.
Yeah, and in a lot of ways, you're fortunate that financial services really embraces. I mean, I remember decades ago when I was working in an ad agency for a bank, and the bank had phenomenal plans in place that even included when they were getting their advertising up. Now, you touched on one topic there that I want to focus on for a moment, which is some systems, as you said, you want up day zero. Others may take a while. Now, when it comes to implementing the plan, what does come first? What's a day zero versus a later date? And really, what do you need to get up right away?
Yeah, I think that's going to depend on the nature of the business, right? And I think for us, the two critical questions that we ask are, what does the business need to support and meet customer needs? Because much of what gets driven in a financial services company is going to be based on that, because most of the regulatory requirements are around that, right? It's accessibility to accounts, it's ability to be responsive to the policy owners or the customer's needs. And so I think those two tend to go hand in hand. They have to work with the business partners to think about what are those customer needs and what are the regulatory requirements around those. I think then some other things that you might be willing to put off are some of those either support or operational functions or perhaps enhancements to a program. For example, in the compliance department itself, what are the kinds of things that you think that you might be able to put off? Maybe there was something that you wanted to enhance in terms of a particular program that's not necessarily a regulatory requirement. That might be the kind of thing that you can wait on. I guess another kind of sort of the flip side question is, what is it important not to put on hold? And sometimes I think we tend to forget about the fact that ensuring that your team and the others on your team are doing okay, right? A lot of times in these, I think we sometimes forget about that kind of personal aspect of these kinds of crises. And you put on hold the development stuff or the team building stuff that you thought, you know, that you were going to do, but because of the crisis, you're so focused on the crisis that you tend to get blinders around the fact that these are still human beings with human needs. And a lot of times trying to reemphasize some of that personal development, team building, but maybe in a different way, I think are still important to keep on track and try and continue to help people develop, especially during a crisis when they might feel like, you know, their ability to contribute in particular is hampered.
Yeah, and you don't want them checking out because they either feel as if they can't do anything, they're not valued, or I would imagine you also want to make sure that it's not for an emotional reason, that they're depressed, feeling overwhelmed, those kinds of things, which actually leads into another question I have, which is, you know, how do you act as both a manager and a leader, staying current on what your team is doing and where they are mentally and helping to set direction when everyone is, you know, far out of your arm's reach and maybe potentially even hard to reach?
Yeah, it's tough. I think, you know, especially if you're used to walking around the office, walking down the halls. I do a lot of the management and leadership by walking around, and I can't do that so much when we're in an environment where everybody is sitting at home on their computers. I think that a couple of things that we've done is we've established additional online team meetings. So instead of maybe meeting once a week, we'll call an extra meeting. The other one is various kinds of communication, whether it's through video, Microsoft Teams, for example, or Skype has pretty good video capabilities so that people can actually see another human being if you put yourself on the video, which is what I try to do when I meet with my team. I actually put on my live video, even if I'm in a t-shirt and haven't shaved that day, so that people can actually see me and think about, you know, what it is that their needs are. I think a lot of times when this, we try to continue to push for work getting done, as opposed to remembering that people are going to have different needs at a time like this. Maybe they have small kids who are not able to access daycare now, for example. And the other is I think it's probably a good time to remember some of the lessons from diversity and inclusion, because it's really at a time like this when we all feel kind of somewhat excluded that the same mechanisms that we think about in terms of inclusion are probably even more important when we're all working remotely. And we, in fact, just today, my team watched a video that Accenture put out a couple of years ago called Inclusion Starts With I. It's a very powerful video. And then we took 45 minutes to talk about it and how it made us feel. I think continuing those kinds of things, especially when you're not as personally visible, are important to keep people connected on a personal level as opposed to just a work level.
And certainly this crisis has shown, you know, how human we all are and how we have to be mindful of that. Now, how do you keep your pulse on what's going on with the business unit? It can be difficult on a day-to-day basis, but now with people working remotely and frankly, the whole business dynamic changing so fast, how do you make sure compliance is where it wants to be and needs to be?
Yeah, I think it's really important for everybody up and down the compliance chain to reach out to their business partners, make sure they're getting included in the periodic update calls, for example, that the business leaders are having with their teams. Doesn't, you know, the nice thing about being remote is that it's just a phone call, right, or a video chat. So it's not like you need to run down the hall or across town to meet with folks if you're in a different building. And sometimes that's an impediment because the compliance groups aren't necessarily always in the same geographic location as their business partners. And so I think consistently meeting with the business people for their team meetings, and they're having a lot of them now too, right? A lot of people are in the same spot And so just being available to listen in on those calls and participate, I think is really helpful. And it doesn't have to be, you know, the head of the compliance group, you know, divvy up the work and then come back and have folks report out on what they're seeing or who they're talking to. And in a sense, that's actually really supportive of the compliance team because it shows them that you have confidence in them to be able to do it. And, you know, it continues to support them in their development. They know that they're listening in, they're paying attention, and they're bringing back information to the compliance leadership team to help assess, you know, any particular situation that might come up.
And no doubt a lot of them are. Now, how do you reassure employees that you're still there and they can still reach you and really make up for the fact that they can't just pop their head in or grab you in the halls?
Yeah, I think it's communication on so many different, through so many different mechanisms. If it's email, video, chat, we have messaging through a couple of different mechanisms. We use Microsoft Teams for a lot of things, and Teams has they have a chat function where you can post things. You can post things that will, you know, go to one team or another or to a group, so that you can do near instantaneous messaging through it. We do have a lot of calls now with either one-on-ones with individuals or as teams or smaller teams. I think it's just a lot of different kinds of communication and trying to reassure people that if you don't hear from us, it doesn't mean you're not thinking about them either. You know, sometimes it can get a little lonely, like sit up here in my attic looking out the window, even myself. So I think just that trying to make yourself reach out. And sometimes I think we feel a little uncomfortable reaching out to people when we don't have something particular business oriented to talk about. And I think that's really important, especially at times like these, to maybe reach out to your colleagues, but on a personal level. You don't just say, hey, how you doing? And I think a lot of times that might spur communications that we might not otherwise have had because we didn't think we had a business topic to talk about. But I've found that people actually appreciate if you just reach out and, you know, check in and say, hey, just thinking about you, how you doing? And it's remarkable the kind of conversations you can then have.
Well, I think we all need that right now. I think it's certainly the last few weeks have shown how much we all need each other. And I think, you know, for the long term, the better we know each other, the easier it becomes for business people to reach out because they know you're not just a function, you're a person. And hopefully there's a stronger bond built because of this over time, which may be one of the silver linings from this horrible time. Well, Don, thanks for taking the time away to talk to us. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.